everyone. You're listening to Scientific Healing with Dr. Anastasia Chopoulos. The combination of physics and ancient healing arts amplifies results dramatically. Transform your life and the lives of others. Go to scientifichealer.com/energize me to discover more on thriving while growing your healing or coaching business. Let's have a conversation about it right now. scientifichealer.com/appointment. I'm so pleased to introduce you to Lara J. She works with clients worldwide who want to uplevel their life holistically while realizing deeper meaning. Lara helps CEOs, leaders, executives, and entrepreneurs find their strategic edge to lead their business and company to higher levels of success. I bet you want that too, right? She guides them to clear their barriers to profound inner satisfaction and crystal clarity of their own purpose. Lara uses her unique process called Soul Transformational Blueprint and transmits healing codes through light language. She has various trainings in the healing arts and has been practicing for over 25 years. I can't wait to hear her story that she has recently written about. She's written More Than Enough, Discover Your Limitless Potential, and Live Your Bravest Dream. I love that title. And Finding My Happy, and tells her story in a short story called God Spark. I can't wait to hear that story because it's always fascinating to find out how healers brave public scrutiny to plant their freak flag and do their amazing work. Welcome to the show, Lara. I'm so delighted to be having this conversation.
Thank you, Anastasia. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it's like every time I connect with souls like you, it lights my day up for the rest of the day.
And same here.
And I'm sure that people listening are also getting lit up from all the sparks flying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So Lara, can you share with us the journey that brought you to where you are now, this thing that you called God Spark in your intro?
I will. You know, for me, what I do is so personal, and unfortunately it started because of something sad, but looking from the outside, looking in, I had this picture perfect life. It's one of those lives on Facebook that everybody's jealous of. And I had a wonderful husband and two great kids, a successful marketing company, fabulous vacations, beautiful house, you know, all of it, pillar of the community. But on the inside, I was dying. It was in a very deep depression, which nobody knew about. I was going through a major health crisis again, which very few people knew about. Couldn't really find what was wrong. So I just kind of thought it was in my head. I just wasn't sure why I couldn't get off the couch. But it was also the end of my 25-year marriage. I was with him for 28 years. Massive self-hatred. You know, I hated myself. I was mad what I was going through. I didn't understand. The same time, I was becoming an empty nester. I was losing my babies. And being a mom was like the greatest thing on earth to me. And just a lot of frustration. And I, you know, as a pillar of the community, CEO of my own company, I didn't have anywhere to go. I had keys to the church and taught all the Bible studies, but nobody could help me. Nobody seemed to be able to help me. And all I could do was sit on my couch and cry. And so eventually I started to write as a way to heal and meditating. And that's where all of this stuff started coming out. And I realized, you know, I was able to create the person that I needed all along, that I was looking for help, so that now when other people need it, when men and women leaders can't handle the stress of life and they're stuck and they're frustrated before they lose their health, before they lose their marriages, I hope they come to us, you know, so that we can help them.
Yeah. So that I call that like the gilded cage syndrome, right? You're in the gilded cage and you feel trapped, even though you have beautiful surroundings and you have all the trappings, but you're still feeling really stuck. That was me too. You just described my life.
So many of us, we put ourselves in this box and it looks beautiful on the outside. Mm-hmm. May even have palm trees and a pool, but on the inside, it doesn't matter. we see starts with the, with, you know, ourselves and inside.
Right. And basically the, you know, when people would say, well, get in touch with your feelings, I'd look and I'm going like, where?
What's that? Yeah. We were numb, right? We were numb. And,
yeah.
And you asked me about my God spark. And so as I would sit on the couch and cry, I would, each day was a little different, but for the most part, I would ask myself, why am I even here? You know, I don't understand what's happening, God. I just, I'm confused. So I started to focus on the one thing on my body that wanted to be here. Now it took me a while to find it. So I would like, kind of like, okay, what actually wants to be here? Because everything else seems to be shutting down. I was starting to have a lot of surgeries. Things were not working. So I was, like I said, sick, very depressed. So finally I kind of like leveled in on, okay, my stomach area, my solar plexus area. And I would put my hands on it and kind of close my eyes and meditate on it. And I saw like this, just tiny little spark. Like you're just lighting a match. And that's all I had. Like my life force was dwindling very quickly. Mm-hmm. And all I did was focus on that. I knew what we focus on expands. And so I would focus on it and kind of see what, if I could get it to wake up, if I could get it to grow. And eventually I did.
Yeah.
It took a long time. Yeah.
My imagery was a well. I was in the bottom of a deep well and I could see the light up there and I just kept focusing on the light. Right.
Yeah, so, but we had something to go for, right?
It's just like that little, you know, 15 watt light bulb. That's all we needed to go after.
That's all we needed. Yes.
Right. It's just like, so exactly. And I've heard this story over and over in different formats, right?
Yeah.
They're exactly this, like, you know, whether somebody got cancer, I had tumors. I mean, other people, and I was sick more than I was in bed more than I was up after being super healthy, right? Mm-hmm. After being super healthy my whole life. And I was like going, I'm doing all the right things. Like, why am I here?
Right. What's happening? I don't understand. I don't understand. I felt like God had put a seatbelt on me and said, you sit here and stare out the window. And it was the polar vortex. And at the time I was living in Indiana, where I lived most of my life. And I would just sit there and watch the snow come down, like the children in the Cat in the Hat Comes Back, that book. I mean, that is what I did all day long because I didn't have strength to do anything else. And most of my friends didn't even know what I was going through at the time.
Yeah. They can't understand because they think you've got everything that you could possibly ever wish for.
Right. Right. And then I was feeling guilty. Then we feel guilty. How dare I, you know, not be grateful. And I was grateful for what I had, even with what I, you know, was going through, but it's still very painful. Right.
And, you know, our bottom is different than somebody else's bottom.
Yes.
Right. We don't have to end up in the poorhouse and homeless and, you know, being dragged from hospital room to hospital room. Everybody's bottom is different. And so
I like that. Yes.
Right. Cause our bottom was like enough already.
Right.
You know, fuck stops here. Cause for me, my history was both my grandmothers were sick. My mother was sick and I'm going, the buck stops here.
Right.
Not going on. We are not passing this on to future generations.
No, absolutely.
Because there's this epigenetic thing going on. And so you need to stop it and heal it. Right.
Same here. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what's your process? What exactly do you do from taking someone in and helping them? Like, you know, somebody complains about something. What is it that they complain about that you?
Yeah. You know, I hear a lot of stress. I'm having trouble balancing all the balls of life. You know, I hear over and over, I don't know my next step. I don't know where to go next. I hear those words. You know, I hear that I'm just not satisfied anymore. I think that as the world, as we grow up, become more and more conscious, we're not going to be satisfied with status quo, with what's happening at work, at home. We are not going to be satisfied. And that was kind of where my divorce started. I asked for it because I was just not getting out of it a meaningful relationship. And I needed, and he was working 70 hours a week and I was working a lot and not sleeping. And really that's why my heart is so for the CEOs and the leaders and those of us who many of us who are going to work every day and doing these jobs, and part of it is the corporations are putting the pressure on them to be there, you know, to be there 6-7 days a week and put in those hours. And the other part is we put the pressure on ourselves. And so, you know, the buck has to stop somewhere again, and we need to start standing up and going, you know what, again, these tech companies have all these pretty little gadgets and, you know, we're going to serve you meals and do all these fun things. But I'll tell you what, my son worked for a video game company, not the one he's with right now, in Miami. And I had to fly down and get him out of the hospital because for 2 months they were working him 7 days a week. Now, this is not life or death. This is a video game. And the boss said, hey, take as much time as you need, but nothing's going to change when he comes back. And it sure didn't. And my son had to make a decision to leave for his health, for his strength, for his sanity. And
yeah. So their premise is live to work.
Exactly.
Work to live. Right.
But we get caught in that, you know, got to have the money. We got it. And then, you know, but then we realize we got it all and we have all our stuff. And we're still so depleted. Now mm-hmm. it's draining energy. Now it's draining energy from us. And I heard a lady tell me the other day, she's like, I sold my big house. I sold my golf cart. And she started naming all these things. She goes, I just, after a divorce, she started selling stuff. Not that she had to. She wanted to let go of some responsibility and let go of the stuff and, you know, the energy of it because it was weighing her down. Mm-hmm. And we think we get all that and it's going to make us feel better. It doesn't.
No. And I've found that when I just release things, I just, yes. you know, because everything is temporary. You eat food all the time and yeah. you just use it and let it go. So why not your stuff? Right.
Right. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So if anything for me, if I have holes in any of my clothes, if there's stains or anything, they have to go.
They have to go.
Right. It's just honoring your body to put them on you. And it's the same thing with food. Food has to be healthy and have a lot of vitality in it. If it's a little old, just let it go.
Just let it go. It's okay. And not feel bad about it. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. Because like I said, everything's temporary. We put gas in the car and we go. Right.
Right.
And it gets burned. It gets burned up.
Right? As we get burned up. I'm not sure if I answered your question about what my process is. So they come in, and of course we do, you know, lots of talking and see and really dive deep into what it is, like you do, what it is that's really there. But one of my goals, and I know this is yours too, is to teach them to do this for themselves. And what I want people to do, and leaders to do as well, not just at work, but at home as well, is to learn a holistic way of taking care of themselves. So often we go in every day to work and we try to leave our work at home, ourselves at home, our personal life at home. Well, we're one person. You know, there used to always be that we have to keep everything divided. Okay, work is work, personal is personal. And yes, there's place and time for all of that. But we are one spirit, and we are a spirit in this body that needs taken care of. And so my five main areas that I teach on and teach my clients are to work with their mind, which is all the mind chatter and all the stuff that comes in. Of course, the body, you know, all the physical things. We need to learn how to be grounded. We need, like we talked about, eat healthy, exercise. We talk about our physical environment stuff, like we were just mentioning. And of course, our spirit, that's who we are, our spirit. And then the other two areas, emotions and energy, which a lot of people don't talk about. And I, for years, thought, okay, well, I thought we were just a mind, body, spirit. I didn't really know for years until I started studying about emotions and energy and how that affected me. I didn't understand why, as a sensitive, empathetic soul, I would go to the grocery store in line and be fine and come out crying. And it was, you know, what everyone else was, I would pick up on what everybody else around me was thinking and feeling. And it's still very difficult for me, but now I have tools.
Well, it's even a little more insidious than that, is that they can feel us.
Yes.
And then they they cord to us, they send a cord out and they draw our energy out, and we let yes. them.
We, and let, we them. Let them. And we
because
let them.
We're generous with ourselves, right?
Right. Right.
You wouldn't be a healer if you weren't generous. And, mm-hmm. Right. So you yeah. go somewhere, and I've had people say, you know, I was walking along the beach and I encountered this gentleman and we passed a few words. And then after I walked away, I felt like I couldn't take another step. Right. And that was that momentary thing. You know, he saw your energy, he glommed onto you, he sucked it out. And if you know a couple of really simple techniques to, you know, create the divide and give him back his energy and reclaim yours, as soon as you do that, boom, you're back to normal again. You're back to your vibrant
Absolutely.
Self, right?
But before we knew that, though, every day I would go and I'd be like, oh, you know what? I didn't understand what was happening. And mm-hmm. then I would go and teach things, and I would come home and have 20 people's energy on me. And mm-hmm. I ran a mom's group and did some other things. And I didn't understand what was happening until I started writing and meditating, and things started to come out and clear. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can actually feel amazing.
Yes, exactly. I call it energy hygiene, right?
Yeah, it is.
You brush your teeth, you wash your hair, you take a shower, and, you know, clean off your energy.
Yes.
So I go through a routine every morning and in the evening before I go to bed, and in the middle when I'm dealing with clients and people and students and stuff, I just keep myself as clean as possible.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Right? And then there's a new way of doing it, because the old way, like Reiki, for example,
yes.
you know Reiki, I'm a Reiki mm-hmm. master too, mm-hmm. is that we channel the energy through us.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
The new way is to channel it directly into them.
Oh, nice. Absolutely. Right?
So you don't have any temptation to give them some of your own light.
Yeah, we don't have to, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. As I work, when I work on people, I'm just kind of using my hands and pulling stuff off of them. But the, you know, for me, when it's a client, obviously I have permission, but when it's somebody who's just coming by, and people don't do this consciously. Most of
no, you know, right? No, it's completely unintentional.
It is
completely subconscious. Right. They go, "Ooh, I want what she's having."
Yeah, yeah. It's
right?
this light, and they're like, "Ooh, I want that," or "I want that." Yeah,
yeah. And they're going, "Ooh, I want to know that person. Ooh, I want to have a chat with them, and I want to, you know, like, you know, rub up against that, and you know, get something from it." Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that they can get it for themselves.
I love that. And that's the key. We teach them how to do it themselves.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So what's one of the largest yet hidden challenges a leader faces right now?
Yeah. And I mentioned it briefly, and it's when their employees come into work and they kind of ignore the spirit part and helping them be a whole holistic being. You know, it's all about, you know, money and work at work, which makes sense. The problem is they can't leave their spirit at home. So then it's what and how are they going to have time? I had a gentleman tell me yesterday that he went into work when he was 40. This was about 15 years ago. And he knew, he asked them, he said, "Look, I just need some more me time. I need some more me time to grow. And I just need to cut down to 4 days a week." And they said, "No." And so he walked. Good for him. But that, we just need a little bit more. We need more time for us to, especially the older we get, I'm finding we need more time to process things, and we're going to be more productive. We're going to be able to have better communication, better relationships if we're not stressed. You know, the things that if we had could take time and go meditate and naps and, you know, all
well,
of this,
right? So, yeah. So to picture it, so physically, as you get older, you need to spend, you know, you need to be more cautious.
Yes.
You know, eat better foods, make sure you get your exercise. Like, you know, when you get over 60, for example, I'm in my mid, I'm going to be 66 next month, right? So you get to this age, and you know, if you make one bad mistake, that could be all she wrote. Right.
Right. Right. We're not as resilient as we used to
be. No. So you're right. We need to spend more time more time processing, more time being mindful of what our actions are, being, you know, being better caretakers of all our relationships, you know, yes, thinking about what's satisfying in your career, you know, expressing your creativity, all those things. And, you know, really being in touch with your own spirituality, right? So, all, you know, there's 8 factors, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, right? And a lot of companies are realizing this, and they're letting people work from home more, which mm-hmm. helps give a more relaxed vibe. Or they're bringing in yoga or mindfulness classes, even, right, you know, there's massage, several, you know. Yeah,
several companies, Aetna, mm-hmm. Google, you know, there's all these companies that are bringing in, you know, the morning meditation.
Yes.
5-10 minutes, and it changes mm-hmm. their productivity. It changes, it brings it in, you know, an extra $5,000 per employee, bottom line, in terms of profit.
And they're finding that, right? Mm-hmm. And they, now that they have the proof of that, they're willing to do it. So mm-hmm. we need more and more companies to follow that. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I always say, if it's in one cell, it's in all your cells.
Right.
Yeah. Right. You know, you can't just go to, let's say, an endocrinologist, because they only look at, you know, whether you're diabetic or hypothyroid or hyperthyroid. That's all they look at, right?
Yeah. And,
but why did it get there? What's the root?
Mm-hmm.
What's the root? Like, is there some other reason for it going there? Yeah. And what behavior has got you there, and what's your thinking that got you there, and, you know, what do you eat, what's your daily habits, what toxins are you being around, what toxic people are you being around, and all those questions will lead you to, you know, so if it's in one cell, it's in all of them.
Right. Unfortunately. Right. Well, and you, I love that you mentioned epigenetics and our environments, and mm-hmm. It is very important, and it's a new science that I think more and more people are learning about. But you always hear that we're our 5 closest people that we hang out with.
Right. Well, what I love about epigenetics, it's always been kind of like my scientific mind going, okay, so if only 5% of our DNA encodes protein sequencing, what does the other 95% do? And I even tried to do a paper back in college. Okay, so this was way back in the early 70s. I tried to do a paper like, why does an animal, when it's born, know exactly what to do and the mother's not teaching it? So this is encoded into the DNA. This is like a computer. And if you look at a computer chip and a DNA molecule, they look identical. And now they're finding that, you know, activating a gene is like ones and zeros. A methyl group goes on, I activates it, the methyl group comes off and deactivate it. So it's like an on-off. So it operates just like a computer chip. And I've been thinking this for like 30 years, 25 to 30 years. And I think it was an idea before its time, and I didn't know how to articulate it. But now it's here.
Now you can.
Now it's here. And now we can adjust it by first our behaviors, and then we can change it energetically. That's the beauty of that kind of work. So describe your process a little bit.
Yeah. So, as I'm working with people and I begin to teach them about the different ways to take care of themselves and also to bring it into work and help their employees open it up to them. I have 3 main things that I always teach. And that is, first of all, to be still, to take that quiet time each day. Because, you know, if we need that quiet time, even if it's only 5 minutes to start with that, and to really listen to your soul, because it's probably screaming at you, and it's better to hear it when it's whispering versus later when it's screaming. And then the second thing is, while we're being quiet, then here comes all the mind chatter. And so I work with clients on, you know, the mind chatter, and that we don't have to believe everything that we hear in our heads, which was new for me. For a while. So it was new for me to realize that and go, I don't have to believe all that stuff and I can change it. So that was neat. And then of course to practice mindfulness. And then mindfulness for me is teaching teaching people mindfulness or meditation and bringing in all five senses. So it's being present and being present with whatever it is they're doing, and how all of these things can just really, these three basic things can help anyone right here and right now just kind of slow down the stress level and get grounded and present. And if they can do this, you know, start doing this every day. These are the three main things that I did every day. They're the first three chapters in my first book. It's what I preach for everybody. It can just rewire our brain, and really, it doesn't make a lot of sense. They're very simple, but they're hard to get in, hard to do sometimes, but they're very important.
And there is a lot of scientific research that does show that it does rewire the brain. It changes the neural pathways. You can actually see the brain activity change when you get into that quiet, mindful place, as opposed to, you know, always being reactive instead of acting yes. on your own volition. I call it coming from the internal sense of self rather than the external circumstances. Right.
I love it. And not being triggered. So then we don't react. And yeah, that's mm-hmm. beautiful. That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And right.
Mm-hmm. One of my most favorite things that I do with clients is when I'm working with them is the light language. And are you familiar with light language?
No. I'd okay. love to hear about
okay.
it.
Okay. So light language, I think there's probably a few hundred people in the world who do it. I'm just kind of guessing. And it's basically, for me, I know that I'm channeling the higher realms, the angels. And for me, the angels are God, spirit's voice. They're the voice, and yes. can speak. And so I work really closely with the 12 archangels in channeling. And for a while, when I started meditating and when I got sick and started meditating, this channeling, I would auto write, and then these words started coming out, and I didn't really know what they were. But then I realized that I had done it when I was a little girl. And I remembered as a little girl saying these words in bed at night when I was afraid. And then whatever, you know, you stop. I have no idea when I stopped, probably 8 or 9. And then finally I got quiet enough and my soul was able to wake up enough to come back and do it again. And so basically what I can do with it is pretty much whatever I feel like. If I'm working with a client, I don't have to know what they're doing or what they're healing. I can just say the words over the people, and what it does for them, it does for me, because it just comes out of my mouth over them. I see it doing that. But it's healing for them. And then what I'm in the process of doing right now is actually channeling light language for different purposes, for stress, for weight loss, for whatever, clarity, finding your purpose. So I'm in the process of recording those right now, and I'll have those for sale on my website eventually. But and that has been just an incredible high for me, to be able to not just stand in front of somebody and be able to have this light language and see the chains breaking off of their auric field and tears in their auric, their energy field healed. And the things that it does is just mind blowing. And it's fun mm-hmm. and energizing.
So the way that works scientifically, so you'll have some
yes.
language to hang on that.
Burn me.
Right. So when I do a healing and I record it, the carrier waves implanted into, so engineers are very aware of this, that there's a lot of noise that you can't hear. And the carrier waves will carry the healing energy into the recording. So when people listen back to it, and we know this from different kinds of experiments, like really bizarre quantum experiments that you think sound like science fiction, but they're real, right? So it gets recorded into the recording, and when people listen back, it's as if they were there when you did it in the first place, right? This is a quantum effect. And I first discovered this 5 years ago when I taught my first class, and I was moving energy while I was talking to the class, because I was moving, and I said, I'll heal you, and then I'll explain to you what I'm doing. So I'm moving energy, and then I'm listening back, trying to get rid of all the and ums, right? You know, and I'm a lot better with it now. I hardly say it, as you can tell. but what I was listening to, and I'm going, I can feel that energy down my back. I was doing it during that time.
So you felt it all again.
Yeah, I felt it all again. So if somebody listens to one of my healing audios, and they listen to it every single time, it'll keep doing the same healing.
Yes, it's all encoded. That makes sense. It's all encoded in there. And what it does, it imprints all of that. And it just is amazing what it does for all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not just the words. It's also your voice, because you're doing it at a high frequency. Right. And there's also commands that are embedded in it. Mm-hmm. And, it's the frequency that comes through. So it operates actually on many levels. Mm-hmm. And I have a woman who channels music. She never studied piano, and she channels it. And she retuned her piano to the healing frequencies. And so, So I put that in the background too. And it just, the audios are phenomenal, and people just like, they don't value it. But I got reaffirmation last week when a lady called. She says, I've been listening to your 11 minute audio. And she says, it's the best I felt in 20 years.
Yay.
Right.
That's awesome. Right.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly what we, that our efforts are paying off.
Yes. Right?
So I can't wait to hear more about those, your light language.
Yes, they'll be out within a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. So by the time this airs, people will be able to go in and check them out.
And there's a sample on the website now. So they're welcome to get on there and check it out anytime.
So we've already talked about the tips of, slowing down and taking care. So what's the biggest lesson that you learned to do over again that you would pass on to someone else just starting out?
Ooh, the biggest lesson. To know that I could actually create my life. I thought it was set in stone. And then I thought I messed it up. We never messed it up. We get to create it every single day.
Yeah, and the other thing that I'd like to add to that is that every step that you took, it served its purpose to help create the beautiful life you have now, right?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, nothing is a waste. I tell myself that nothing is a waste. And then when there's a roadblock, I'm like, that was God's protection. When I had the flat tire this morning to go back home. I just have to make up something, right?
And what's your biggest challenge right now?
Oh, my biggest challenge. Let's see. Is getting out there. You know, it's still hard for me to be open about all of this, and it's new, it's scary, and so it's still hard for me. But this is something that I don't have a plan B. This is what I want to do so bad. It's like it's imprinted in my soul, and it's going to come out sooner or later. And now's the time. So.
Yeah, and I mean, it's basically flying your freak flag.
Right.
Because you're...
I'm here.
Right? Like, I wanted to use a pseudonym because, I was this, like, hardcore scientist. And somebody says, oh, you can't do that. And I go, well, my colleagues will look at me like, really? And I would see them roll their eyes when they heard of a medium. Or if they heard somebody, right, they'd just roll their eyes, and I'm going, oh gosh, well, how do I tell them I can do that too?
I know, right? All of it. We're in trouble. Oh, well. It is what, and they can too. That's what I love. It's we're only the ones who shut us down, and the light language I do, I can teach anybody to do it and open people up to it. A lot of my Reiki ladies underneath me, they pick it up just being under me, because I've been imprinting into them it. Mm-hmm. And then it opens up their throat chakra and their energy field to be able to do it. And all of it, we can all do all of it. The question is, do we want to? And, intuitively.
Well, I don't know. The question is, why wouldn't we want to?
Yeah. Well, a lot of people are still afraid that, you know, the fear thing, but yeah, no, I'm all in, yeah. But.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you want to?
Why wouldn't? Yeah.
Right. Because it's all a natural part of being in this experience. Right? Yeah. It's all a natural part of it. And we were all given this perfect energetic blueprint for perfect health, right? Yes. And as we get older, a lot of times we start falling farther and farther afield from it, and it's more effort to bring it back in alignment. And when we get it into alignment, then you can, you know, I say you can live to, you know, 70, 80, and 90 years old in a vibrant, healthy, strong body, not be sick and not be tired, right? And not have achy bones and all of that. And you know, I'm living it now, and I just went to the gym. I go to the gym at 3 days a week, and I went to the gym and I was doing 120-pound deadlifts, and I'm working my way back up, right? So, you know, here I am, little person lifting all this weight, and it's getting to be almost my body weight. I can almost lift my body weight just right off of the floor. And why shouldn't you be able to do that in your 60s or your 70s or your 80s? And you see these people and they're like phenomenons, but I think that that's the norm. We can do that.
We really can. It is the norm. I agree.
Yeah,
what's coming?
I think
so. We have to believe it. We have to believe it in our mind, in our body, and
not think it's normal. Like, right. I think it's abnormal to take medication because I don't take any, right? So I think it's abnormal to take a lot of medication, but everybody else thinks it's normal. Like, it's normal. Oh, and you're in your 40s. Oh, it's time to start taking your blood pressure medication. Oh, let's check cholesterol. Oh, let's take the cholesterol medication instead of going, okay, why is my blood pressure high? 5 minutes of meditation and mindfulness will make that high blood pressure disappear.
Take it out. That's right.
Mm-hmm. It does. That's the fastest way to lower blood pressure.
Love
just
it.
Meditate for 5 or 10 minutes. If you can't do it on your own, just listen to, you know, healing audio that is guided meditation. And it just takes you into that quiet place and lets it all go away. And then you take your blood pressure afterwards. It's like way lower.
Yes. And I had to do that this morning with the flat tire. You know, I could just feel it building and building. I'm like, okay, what do I do? Like,
it's all going to be okay.
Right. Only a flat tire.
So you have a free gift on your website. Tell us a little about that.
I do. I give, they get a light language meditation. I think it's about 15 minutes. So I really encourage everyone to sign up for that. And, I also have a ebook called Don't Limit You. And it's really about for us leaders and I always say whether you're a leader at home or in the boardroom, it doesn't matter. For people who, if we limit ourselves, everyone around us can only go as high as we are. And so that's why mine's entitled Don't Limit You. And then I also give 3 really important chapters that I talked about, the Be Still, the Mind Chatter, and the Mindfulness, my intro, and then that from my first book, More Than Enough, and talk a little bit about my self-hatred and what I did to come out of that. And it was those three main pieces. So encourage everyone to get hop on there and get those free gifts.
Yeah. And More Than Enough, this is like an epidemic problem where people think they're not enough.
It is. And I have sat across from homeless people and I've sat across from multi-millionaires who all say the same thing, that they don't think they are enough, that they have enough, or that they're doing enough. And so many of us have felt that way. And the amount of money that we have in the bank does not matter. The kind of car we drive doesn't matter. And it all starts with how we feel inside. And I do think it's an epidemic amongst everyone. And it sometimes people hide it. That's what, you know, we numb ourselves. That's why we numb ourselves. And
we get into some sort of addiction, whether it's a sex addiction, a work addiction, you know, drinking too much, you know, cannabis. It's really popular now. And all these people are checking out on some level, eating too much, some kind of way of checking out rather than being here and being alive.
Yes, right. Absolutely. And the root of it is that they don't think they're enough. Mm-hmm. And that enough mm-hmm. message. And it's, and that's what I started with back in 2014 and in the book that I wrote, More Than Enough. And it was More Than Enough, Discover Your Limitless Potential and Live Your Bravest Dream. So, and mm-hmm. I was healing while I was writing it. It took me a year to write it because I would write a chapter and it was just gut-wrenching. It was gut-wrenching to get that chapter out. And then I would practice it for a while and then I'd edit it and I'd practice what I wrote and then I'd edit.
So, yeah, I get it entirely. Yeah. That's mm-hmm. the same thing that happened when I wrote my story, right? It's just like when I wrote my first essay about what life was like before and what it's like now, right? When I wrote that first essay, I just cried through the whole thing because it really is gut-wrenching to, mm-hmm. to write that down. Yes. And, so I have your website as LaraJaye.com/gift for the free gift and LaraJaye.com just for your website to go on and see all the wonderful things that you're doing and, you know, and all your books I will have on the show notes. So all of this information will be on the show notes so people can be sure and check everything you've got out.
Great. Thank you, Anastasia. It's so wonderful to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. It was awesome, awesome, awesome having you as a guest. So thank you for listening to Scientific Healing and for our inspiring guest, Lara Jaye. And to connect with her again, go to LaraJaye.com.
Let's you and I connect. Go to scientifichealer.com/energize me to discover more about a new, intimate, in-depth program designed to help you thrive as a healer or coach while building out your practice. When you're ready to learn more, I invite you into a conversation right now. I have reserved time for you on my calendar at scientifichealer.com/appointment. Help spread the word about this podcast. Give it a thumbs up or 5-star rating and subscribe to my channel. This is Dr. Anastasia Chopoulos. Until next time.